In the midst of the recovery from the Great Recession, there's a lot of pessimism about the United States economy out there, with continued long-term unemployment for many, concerns about jobs lost to outsourcing and technology, and rising income inequality, a likely topic tomorrow's State of the Union address.
But our next guest has an optimistic point of view. In a piece that recently ran in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, he says the U.S. economy is reinventing itself and good news is on the way.
Vivek Wadhwa joins us now from Singularity University. He's a fellow at the Rock Center for Corporate Governance at Stanford University and Director of Research at the Center for Entrepreneurship and Research Commercialization at Duke University. Vivek, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So, as we mentioned, there's a lot of pessimism about the economy. Why don't you feel pessimistic?
Because the country is reinventing itself. If you look at every specific field, I mean, they start with manufacturing. Manufacturing is beginning to come back to America. Give it another 5 years, and we'll be having robotics manufacturing plants, and then we'll be building 3D manufacturing plants. We're going to have to start building new factories, training up American workers. We're going to see a revival of manufacturing like we've never imagined before. Look at medicine. There are all sorts of advances happening in medicine. We're now being able to prevent disease. We have all sorts of sensor-based devices which are available for our smartphones, for our bathrooms, all these amazing sensors which can help us prevent disease. Look at energy. Solar has dropped 97.2% over the last 35 years. At the rate at which solar is going, and I'm just talking just about solar, not about many of the other amazing advances, we will achieve grid parity in about 10 years or so. Grid parity means that it's cheaper to buy, to have solar panels than to buy from the grid. Move forward 15 years, and solar will be a fraction of grid. We're talking about unlimited energy. You have unlimited energy. You can have unlimited clean water. You can have unlimited food. The next 10 to 20 years are going to be the most amazing period in human history. And we're laying the seeds for all this innovation right now. America is making it happen.
But looking at manufacturing and other fields, a lot of people might look at this and say, it's great that the manufacturing jobs are coming, but thanks to technology, an individual plant employs fewer people. A lot of jobs, even starting to be knowledge jobs, are being crowded out by new forms of technology. These innovations may be great, but if we don't have jobs to make money, it could be bad news for a lot of people.
Well, I'll ask you the question, why do we have to work 40 hours a week? 100 years ago, we would have been arguing about working 80 hours a week. We would have argued about the importance of protecting agricultural jobs. And then we would have been arguing about protecting factory jobs. Jobs have been changing over the last centuries. We work less now than we ever did. We have more leisure time. Why do we have to work 40 hours a week? Why can't we be working 20 hours a week? Well, if food becomes cheap, if we can 3D print our houses, if we can prevent disease and we don't fall sick, why do we have to make money the way we do right now? Next decade, we're going to be having some very interesting discussions about the value of work and the meaning of work itself. It's going to be changing. We'll be doing less work. We'll have more time for leisure. We'll have more time to uplift ourselves, to gain knowledge for music, for the arts. Those are better pursuits than just working in jobs that are mindless right now that people hate doing.
So it sounds like you're saying our technology is running out ahead of our economy and our culture, our society.
Exactly. And we don't seem to realize that as human beings, we tend to get pessimistic. We look linearly. Hey, the next iPhone didn't have a major new upgrade and we become pessimistic. We have to understand that our iPhone now, for example, has 40 times the computing power of supercomputers of about 30 or 40 years ago. They just sit in our pockets waiting for us to do something. Computing has advanced exponentially, and so are many other fields. They're advancing exponentially. And we're now getting to a point that we'll be able to solve many of humanity's problems.
Part of the pessimistic viewpoint is along the lines of economist Tyler Cowen, who was on our show a couple months back. He makes the case that there are some people who are going to do really well. People with education, people with skills, the people who are programming the apps, developing the new technologies. And there'll be a lot of people who can't afford an education to do that or rack up so much debt in education that they'll be burdened by it forever. Do you see that that split coming in our society?
Yes and no. I mean, Tyler is the guy who used to go around talking about how all innovation is dead. We picked all the low-hanging fruits of history. He was an extreme pessimist a few years ago. Now he's talking about, hey, all these amazing things are happening, but we're going to have unemployment. Tyler is selling books by being pessimistic. The fact is that when we start bringing manufacturing back, so we have to build new factories. You don't have to. You don't need a college degree to build a factory. So we're now going to have to rethink our infrastructure, the way we have our roads. When we have self-driving cars on our roads, the job requirements will change. We won't need so many taxi drivers or so many truck drivers. It may well be that you have some people who pursue music and knowledge gathering. The jobs will change. The role of human beings will change. And yes, there will be disruption. There will be more people who are the extreme rich. We'll have more Mark Zuckerbergs. But the rest of, for example, cell phones. 15 years ago, the cell phone used to be an object of luxury. If you go back to that movie Wall Street, Michael Douglas had that big brick in his hand, and that was the image we saw of the super rich. I was in New Delhi 2 weeks ago. My beggar's cell phone went off. He stopped begging. But the point is that now a billion people in India have cell phones. They've become objects of, they've become a sheer necessity. So the cost of technology is dropping. It's commercial. It's democratizing. Everyone is beginning to have it. And we're going to have different discussions than just having haves and have-nots. We're going to have the have-nots have so much more, knowledge, so much more food and lodging, and many of their basic needs will be taken care of. So it could well be that some people work more than others do, but it's going to be a set of very interesting discussions we have over the next 10 to 20 years.
One thing that struck me in your piece, we hear a lot about how the internet has changed the economy. You say we haven't seen much yet. It's still a really new technology in the scope of things. There's a lot more to come.
Yeah, there are going to be 3 billion more people coming online in this decade. Cheap tablet computers. I was involved with a project to bring cheap tablets from India to Palo Alto, Oakland, and Mountain View. We gave it to the disadvantaged children over here. It's sad that there's tens of thousands of children over here who don't have laptops or computers, which are basic necessity. We brought $40 computers from India and gave it to these kids. Many of them said it changed their lives because now they had access to the same internet, to the same knowledge, to the same ability to build apps as the rich kids in Silicon Valley did. So the cost of tablet computers is dropping exponentially. Soon everyone will go around having iPad-like devices by which they communicate. Just like we have cell phones, we'll have smartphones and smart tablets, and they'll become inexpensive. The way we'll be able to communicate will just change. It's going to lead to an era of information sharing.
In our last 30 seconds or so, is the United States particularly well poised in this innovative future?
That's the beauty of it. We're making this innovation happen. We are the inventors of this technology. We're going to be the leading beneficiaries of this thing. And the U.S. is reinventing itself once again. I'm extremely optimistic about America. It's going to rise. It's going to prosper. It's going to flourish.
Vivek, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
That was Vivek Wadhwa. He's Vice President of Research and Innovation at Singularity University. He's also affiliated with Duke and Stanford universities.